So, yeah. Well, yes, this last week has been another super eventful week here at the church. Want to thank you all for, as Kayla did, for giving and serving. Thank you so much for giving to the Rogue Valley Disaster Relief Fund that we started last week. We've had about $18,000 that has come into that, so thank you for your generosity. And we're doing our best to just be a blessing to everybody that we can. We have received now 3 semi-truck loads of bottled water from Convoy of Hope. We have delivered 2 of those, and so thank you for that. We've gotten that water to where it needed to be. The 3rd truckload we actually had delivered to the Living Waters Church downtown. They had made an offer to me previously that if we needed to store anything, they have a warehouse and they could store it for us. So there's a complete semi-truck of water in that warehouse so that we can pull off of that as we need. We also just learned of another great opportunity just a few days ago of an organization that is willing to send boxes of food, like lots of boxes of food, like 26 semis. And so I'm working with some other churches right now. We're putting something together to be able to store those and be able to deliver those. So we're going to need lots of help. One of the things that we need to all keep in mind is when there's a disaster like this, there's usually an incredible outpouring at the very beginning. Like a lot of things come in, a lot of people show up. But this need is going to be an ongoing thing. There's going to be people that need help for several weeks and several months. And so we want to just make you aware of that, and we want to be ready to minister not just for the short term, but in the long haul. And so I just want to thank you and at the same time encourage you. Keep your eyes and your ears open to opportunities to serve, not only here at Bethel, but there's a lot of great organizations that are here in town right now, and some of the other local churches that are doing great things. So get involved, roll up your sleeves, be the hands and the heart of Jesus, and thank you all so much. I'm going to ask you to stand with me again, and I want to also highlight this. Next Sunday, we have such a great thing happening. Our evangelist friend, Pastor Jason Friend, is going to be with us next week. How many of you remember Jason Friend? He was with us last fall. He's an incredible anointed speaker. He's going to be right here at Bethel Church next Sunday. And so we're going to be back out on the lawn next Sunday, 1 service at 9:00 in the morning. But because Jason was able to be here with us, we're also going to do an evening service at 7:00. So we're going to have lights that we bring in out there at the stage, and it's going to be a fantastic evening. And so I'm looking forward to filling up that lawn next Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's going to be a great, great day. I want you to stand because I just want to pray again over the Word of God as we get into it. So would you open your heart right now and just say, Lord, you come and just speak to me through your Word, and I open my heart and life to you. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the gift of your Word, that your Word shapes us, it changes us, it encourages us, it corrects us when we need that. And so, Lord, we pray an openness to your word today. May my heart be pliable and soft before you. And Lord, I want to just be like clay in your hands that you can shape and mold through your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. All right. Thank you so much, church. You can be seated. In the summer of the year 2000, the eyes of the world were on Sydney, Australia, as it played host to the 2000 Summer Olympic Games. And as billions of people from all over the world watched on, as they were watching the opening ceremonies, the scene moved from the Olympic Stadium out to Sydney Harbor, where they did this spectacular fireworks display. And toward the end of that display, the Sydney Harbor Bridge was completely lit up with one word, and that was the word eternity. Eternity. Now, while most of the world was scratching their head wondering, what does eternity have to do with the Olympics, people in Australia knew exactly what this word meant because it had become a part of their history in culture. It all started with the story of a man by the name of Arthur Stace, also known to Australians as the graffiti preacher. Arthur Stace was born and raised in Australia in a home of poverty and alcoholism and hopelessness. These were part of his everyday life. At the age of 12, Arthur Stace became a ward of the state. By the time he was 15, he went to jail for the first time in his life. When he was 20 years old, he actually became the recruiter of his own sister's brothel. And for the next 26 years of his life, Arthur Stace was in and out of prison, an alcoholic and petty thief. All of this changed on August 6th, 1930. That was the day that Arthur Stace gave his life to Jesus Christ. 2 years later, Arthur was listening to a preacher by the name of John Ridley. And the title of John Ridley's message that day was The Echoes of Eternity. And the main text was Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, which says this, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Arthur Stace was so touched by this message and so moved by this idea of eternity that he determined that day to make his life's single most important ambition to make sure that every single Australian was awakened to the knowledge that they were an eternal being that had an eternal destiny, that was loved by a God who is eternal, who wanted to spend eternity with them. And so for the next 35 years, Arthur, who was basically illiterate, couldn't even write his own name, began this very simple routine. First of all, he learned how to write the word eternity in script. And then for the next 35 years, his pattern was this. He woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and he prayed for 1 hour. At 5 o'clock, he left his home armed with some chalk. And he would leave his house and go wherever he felt God was leading him. And for several hours every day, Arthur would write the word eternity in beautiful script every 100 feet. He did this for 20 years before anybody even knew who he was. After 20 years, someone discovered who he was and his story got out. Whenever anybody would question him about graffiti, his answer would be that he had permission from a higher source. After word got out as to his identity, thousands of people from all over Australia began to write him letters thanking him for the difference he had made in their lives. Because when they read that word eternity, it awakened to their spirit to the fact that they were an eternal being. Many of them came to find Jesus Christ because of this one simple act. Arthur Stace died in 1967, but his message of eternity lived on. In addition to the 2000 Olympics, the word eternity was also displayed on this same bridge the first day of the new millennium, January 1st, 2000. The bell in the Sydney GPO clock tower, rebuilt in 1960, has the word eternity inscribed into it. Eternity is inscribed on the copper plate in the middle of Sydney's town square. In the year 2000, an opera called The Eternity Man was written based on Arthur Stace's life story. In 2008, that opera was turned into a movie about Arthur Stace's life. So all of these things point to the fact not only that one life can make a huge difference, but they also point to the fact that deep inside, people are wondering about eternity. Right? Psalm 90 and verse 2 says this, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Our God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. And we are created in the image of God. So unlike God, we do have a beginning, but like God, we have no end. We will live for all eternity, and we will spend all of eternity in one of two places, either in the heaven that God created for us or the hell that God created for the devil and his angels. Eternity, eternity. Everybody just say that word right now. Eternity, eternity. And so here's the question this morning that I invite you to consider along with me. What if we were to live our lives with eternity in mind? What if we were to begin reminding ourselves daily that all of this is temporary? I would submit to you that if we took eternity seriously, our prayers would be different. Everything about us would be different. C.S. Lewis once wrote this: all that is not eternal is eternally useless. So what would happen if we started taking eternity seriously? I mean, if we really believe that every single person we meet is an eternal being, that should change things for us, right? Our prayers will be shaped by eternity. Our choices will be made with eternity in mind. How we raise our children will change because we will understand that we are raising an eternal person. Everything that we do should be done in the light of eternity. The Apostle Paul wrote this, Philippians chapter 3, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, eternity, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Or also, in the words of Maximus Decimus Meridius, who's that? He's the gladiator, played by Russell Crowe. Before they went into the arena, Russell Crowe, the gladiator, says to his gladiator friends, brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Wow. So true. So true. What we do in life echoes in eternity. Every single day, everywhere you go, you are surrounded by eternal people. Not all of them are ready for judgment day. In your neighborhood, in your school, in your place of work, every day, you rub shoulders with eternal people. Every 24 hours, approximately 150,000 people step from this life into eternity. That's 100 people every minute. And in the last 2 weeks, we have been reminded very starkly that we don't know how long we have. Isn't that right? We don't know how long our neighbor has, our friend has, our family has. So what are we going to do to make sure that they have heard about the relationship with Jesus that's available to them? Listen, none of us has the power to change anybody's life. But we do have the power to make sure that their life can be changed by Jesus Christ. Right? So what if we were to start taking eternity seriously? I want to give you seven things this morning, seven things about making sure that the people that we know, whose lives we can speak into, know that they're an eternal person and they're loved by an eternal God, okay? So I'm going to give you seven things this morning. The first one is this: we can all do this. We can all pray. We can pray. We can pray. Listen, I can't change anyone's mind. You can't change anyone's mind. But God can change people's minds. Amen? You can't change another person's heart, but the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, can soften the hardest heart. So it all begins with prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for yourself. Pray that God will open up doors of opportunity for you. Don't give up on praying for people. I prayed for my family for many, many years. And if you've been discouraged, you've got brothers and sisters that don't know the Lord or parents that don't know the Lord. Let me share with you that I prayed for my family. I was the first one in my family to come to know Jesus. And I began immediately to pray for my parents, to pray for my siblings. And over time, every one of my siblings came to know Jesus. My parents, after 8 years, came to know Jesus. Many of my cousins came to know the Lord. Aunts and uncles came to know the Lord. My cousins' children are now walking with the Lord. And I was the first one, and I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just saying the Lord got a hold of my life first. And I'm the first one to say, as undeserving as I am, I know that as we begin to pray and not give up, the Lord will use our prayers to change people's lives. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. You've got friends that are away from the Lord, people that you love so dearly, they're away from the Lord. Pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. The second thing we need to do is we need to be kind. Be kind. So we preach the gospel not only with our words, but with our actions. Last Sunday, I shared this incredible spiritual insight with you. I'm going to share it again. It is so powerful and incredible. I can't believe I came up with this. Write this down. Being mean to people greatly reduces your chances of leading them to Jesus. Come on. Right? Yeah. Be kind. Be kind. Preach with your words, but preach the love of Jesus with your actions. Be kind. Number three is this: follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So as you're praying not only for people to come to know the Lord, you're praying for yourself. Lord, help me to hear what you're saying. Help me to be led by your Holy Spirit. And follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. He will give you opportunities that you would never come up with on your own. He will open doors for you to talk about Jesus with people. One of my favorite stories about this comes from a good friend of mine by the name of Tom Hackett. Tom came to know the Lord when he was 19 years old. And his testimony is that for the previous 5 years, every day for the previous 5 years, he got high. After 5 years of that, Jesus came into his life and his life was changed for eternity. So Tom, as a young Christian, was doing, you know, what we should all do. He was just trying to be open to everything that God was showing him. He was reading the Word. He was praying. He was seeking the Lord for opportunities to talk about the Lord to people. And this one particular Saturday morning, as he was praying, he felt the Holy Spirit prompting him to take a gospel tract and take it down to the high school, which was kind of weird because it was a Saturday. But Tom knew the Lord was speaking to him, so he went down there to the high school, had a gospel tract with him. There was only one person there, about a 17-year-old young man riding his bike around the high school. He stopped the young man, introduced himself, and he began to take this tract because he didn't know much to be able to really talk about Jesus himself. He took this tract and just started reading it to this 17-year-old. Now, how many of you know that is not exactly the best technique for sharing the gospel, right? So he just begins to read this tract, just verbatim, word for word. He said he was very monotone. He was very nervous. But he comes to the very end of the tract where it says, "Today, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ?" And he looks up at the young man, and the young man has tears running down his cheek. And he said, "Yeah, I would." And right there, Tom was able to pray with this young man who gave his life to Jesus Christ. And I share that story with you to show you this wasn't about Tom's great ability as a witness. It wasn't about his knowledge of the Word of God. It wasn't about his persuasive speech. It was all about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing what the Holy Spirit told them to do. Yeah, follow the promptings of the Lord. So the Lord could prompt you to do just something simple, like go to the coffee shop and meet someone at the coffee shop, or go to your neighbor's house and bring some cookies, or just the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. He will open up conversations for you, but we've got to listen and we've got to obey, right? Follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Number four is this, you got to overcome fear. Overcome fear. The number one reason people don't talk about Jesus more than they do is because they're afraid of rejection. Afraid of rejection. Listen, church, we have got to get to a point where our fear of God, our reverence for God, is greater than our fear of man. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. We have got to learn to just kick fear in the teeth and say, I refuse to give in to fear. We need to have a new boldness in the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit comes, and he gives us power and boldness to tell people about Jesus. Yeah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll have power to overcome those fears. The word power there that Jesus uses, the word dunamis, and in English we get our word dynamite out of that word. You know, you can be dynamite for Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Just start blowing up the strongholds of the enemy with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Overcome fear. Number five is this. Be prepared with Scripture. Be prepared with Scripture. The reason a lot of people don't talk about Jesus is because they're afraid they don't know enough. And listen, if you're a young Christian, right, you're not going to know enough. That's okay. God is still going to use you. But if you've been a Christian for 10 years and you still don't know enough to tell people about Jesus from God's Word, that's not on God. That's on you. Come on, it just got real quiet for me. I mean, come on. Prepare yourself. Equip yourself with the Word of God. No, you're not going to have all the answers. None of us do. I don't have all the answers. But I'll tell you what, you should know enough to be able to tell people about Jesus and the relationship they can have with him. Come on. Come on. Is that true or is it true? Yeah. So, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Always be prepared. Everybody say, always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Whew. Key words there. Don't miss that. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Listen, church, not everybody's going to speak well of Christians. Does that come as a surprise to you? Yeah. Doesn't change the fact that we're to live good lives before people who don't know the Lord. Amen? Right? So they can answer for what they've done, and we'll answer for what we've done. Okay? Number six is this. Don't give up. Don't give up. Okay, I'm just going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you in your life as a Christian, you've heard a message similar to the one that I'm giving you this morning? You walked out of church. You are so charged up, man. Just watch out, because the next sinner that gets in my way, I'm going to tell them about Jesus, right? You walk out of church and you are so fired up. You're going to win the world for the Lord. You start knocking on doors in your neighborhood. You're inviting people to church. And then you find out there's someone who's not interested in what you have to say. Anybody here? Yes, it's happened, I think, to all of us at some point. And what we do, unfortunately, is we let that tinge of rejection get into our spirit. And we just give up. And we just say, yeah, I just knew it would happen that way. I just knew no one was really interested. And we give up way, way too fast. Listen, church, it's spiritual war out there. We're battling, right? We're battling. We cannot afford to give up on people's eternity. The devil hasn't quit. He's still going strong, and he will until Jesus throws him into the lake of fire. He hasn't quit. He hasn't given up. Church, we cannot give up on people's eternity. Amen? So let's keep going, keep loving, keep preaching. I guess I have a, maybe I just wear, just do what's on my shirt. All right. Yeah. Keep loving people. Keep sharing Jesus. Don't give up. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if what? If we don't give up. Don't give up. Okay? And number seven is pray. You say, Pastor Tim, you are getting old. You're starting to repeat yourself. No, my first and last point are the same. On purpose, okay? Because all of this depends on prayer. It starts with prayer. It ends with prayer. Don't give up on praying, right? It all depends on us seeking the Lord, staying close to Him, praying for our loved ones, praying for our family, praying for our friends. Pray, 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 and don't give up. Don't give up. Listen, the Bible says this. It says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. This is not something that we should continue to put off, that we should say, I'll start doing that when I've got more time, when I get around to it. It's not something we can do. Some of you, you're probably not aware or familiar with the name William Booth, but you are probably aware of the organization that he started. It's called the Salvation Army. Now, the Salvation Army has changed a lot over the years, but when the Salvation Army started, it was all about telling people about Jesus. And as William Booth was beginning his ministry, the Lord gave him this very powerful vision. And in this vision, he saw a great ocean, and people were in the ocean, and they didn't have boats, and they were out there in the water, and some of them were drowning, and some of them were just doing their best to stay afloat. It was a mass of humanity dying in the sea. And then the Lord showed him that on the shore, there were people building lifeboats. There were people going out, and they were rescuing people. There were people putting together ropes so that they could pull people in. There were people busy for the Lord, going out to rescue those who were perishing. But then also, the Lord showed him a whole other group of people, that as all of these people were out there drowning, they were at a carnival. They were listening to music and playing games and eating food, completely unconcerned about the lost. And the Lord told them, there are people that are doing what I want them to do. They're out there. They're doing everything they can. They're making sacrifices. They're risking everything to tell people about me, while other people are so caught up with the things of this world, they've got no concern for those that are perishing. Now, church, when I stand before Jesus someday, I don't want to be in the carnival crowd. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I don't want to be in the carnival crowd. I want to know that I was part of Jesus' search and rescue team, that I had the heart of the Lord for the lost. Hallelujah. So we're going to take a moment right now, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to give us a new heart for people's eternity. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me. Let's all bow our hearts together in prayer. Those of you who are watching online, I want to encourage you to pray along with me right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off. Don't put off this decision. Perhaps you're listening online, or perhaps you're here this morning and You know that you yourself are not ready for eternity. You'd like to think you are, but you know that you don't have a peace about that, and that your relationship with the Lord isn't what you want it to be. I just want to invite you right now, if you've never given your life to Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to know where you're going to spend eternity is through Jesus. There is no other way. Unfortunately, there's just a lot of people. They're not really thinking about their eternity, or if they have, they've decided, well, I'm just going to kind of take my chances. But the Bible says we can know that we have salvation. We don't have to wait and find out. We certainly don't want to take a chance with our eternal soul. It's like playing Russian roulette. The reality is you can know today that you're ready for eternity, and you can know by knowing Jesus. So if you're here this morning, I'm going to count to three, and if you're here in person, when I get to the number three, if you want to pray to receive Christ into your life, I invite you to raise your hand. And if you're at home watching online, when I get to the number three, just in your own heart, I want you to say yes to Jesus. One, two, three. Anybody here, anybody online, open your heart to the Lord. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Heavenly Father, would you pray along with me? Heavenly Father, I know today that I'm an eternal being, and I want to spend my eternity with you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming into this world, for dying on a cross for my sins. Lord, today I invite you to come into my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you've risen from the dead. And I believe you're coming back. Lord, I want to be ready. Now, church, I want to invite you to join me in another prayer. How many of you this morning would just be honest to say, I need to have my heart reawakened to eternity? I need to be reminded that people are eternal beings. I need to have a new boldness in my life to talk about Jesus, to be ready to share Jesus with others. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up to the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I just come before you. Would you stand to your feet right now? Hallelujah. Lord, we just come before you right now. Pray along with me, church. We come before you right now. We ask God, Lord, that you would do a new work in our hearts. God, that you will reawaken our hearts to the reality of eternity, God. That, Lord, we would be reminded that so many of the things that we worry about, so many of the things we invest in, so many of the things that we give so much time and money to are things that are not eternal, the things that are here today and they're going to be gone tomorrow. And God, I pray that you will reawaken our hearts, God, that we will live, God, and breathe for things that are eternal in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for a new boldness in our hearts, that we would be ready to talk about you with others, Lord. We'd be ready to pray with people. We'd be ready to be used by you, God, to make a difference, Lord. Teach us, oh God, even as we leave this place, not to live for temporary things, but to live for eternal things. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord today, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.